Well, again, welcome to the gospel meeting tonight. You know, I have a Class 2 Manitoba driver's license. And every few years, I get a notice in the mail. And that notice says, if you want to keep your Class 2 license, you got to go have a checkup from the doctor, and he has to fill out this form, and then you can keep it for another few years. So I got one of these notices a few months ago. And I put it to the side, and then and it's due by the end of this month, so in about another 7 or 8 days. So a couple days ago, I said, I guess I better do something about this, so I phoned up my doctor to make an appointment, and of course, he's on holidays for another couple of weeks. So I said, boy, I'm in trouble. So I phoned up the licensing people and explained my situation, and why did I do that? I was hoping that even though I'd missed the deadline, and by all rights, should lose my Class 2, I was hoping that somehow they'd forgive me and let me have it anyways. And the lady that answered the phone, she says, oh, don't worry, we have a one-month grace period. Well, that's going to be fine because I got my appointment within the 1 month and it all should be fine. But it got me thinking. They had a 30-day grace period. You know, that was good of them, wasn't it? I mean, I had plenty of warning for that notice to be dealt with. I had plenty of time to get it to get done what needed to be done, to be able to keep my license. But I didn't. I just put it off. I put it to the side. I just, you know, I wasn't going to ignore it. I just wasn't. I was busy that day, you know. And then the next morning I was busy, and then the next afternoon I was busy, and so when I got left, I got neglected. And I was so glad to hear that there was a grace period, and I was able to get in and get it done. And that reminded me of God's grace. And so I would like to read a couple of verses tonight about God's grace. And if we can use that phrase, and we use it in our language, a grace period, God has a grace period for us. And it's a very good thing that He does. Because without it, we've already missed the requirements. The requirements being, of course, that we have no sin. We've already missed that. Because the Bible tells us that we have all sinned. The Bible says that all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. And so when it comes to the requirements for my license, it just took one phone call to find some good news. When it comes to God's requirements for us to get into heaven, we turn to His Word and we can find out the message there. And that's what we want to speak about tonight. So the first verse I want to read two places. And the first one is in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now what I want to notice from that verse is that the grace of God, it bringeth salvation, and it has appeared to all. It's available to everyone. Okay, let's also read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 7. And this verse says, in whom, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And if you think back to the scenario I gave you at the start, you know, we have this idea in our minds, and I pondered why that we do. When we miss a deadline, a very clear and well-informed deadline, we have this expectation in our minds that they'll let me away with it. That there's going to be a way around it. And if we didn't, we'd be going around telling stories like, well, I called those people, and it's not my fault the doctor's on holidays, and how come they didn't let me have an extension because it was only a few weeks? We have this expectation as people. When we miss deadlines or when things go wrong. You know, I was on holidays a few years ago when I went to a place that, you know, I very rarely have a chance to get to, and I wanted to get in, and I arrived as they were closing the door, you know, and I tried to beg to get in, you know. Of course, I'm special, right? They should let me in, but nobody else, not the other 20 or 30 people standing at the door being told no. Of course, I was foolish enough to try. But we have this in our minds that somehow that somebody should just bend the rules a little bit for us. And I wonder if that's because that's because perhaps that we're made in God's image, and God is a God of grace, and God is a God of saying, yes, there are rules. You can read about them in the Bible. All of the things that God sets before us as His rules, His requirements, the things that we must do, and the things that we find as we live that we can't do. And God is a God who has set those things out, but at the same time, God loves us. So God says, here are the things that you must do, and if you don't, you're going to be punished, and here's the punishment, death, and hell, and judgment, and finally the lake of fire. This is all laid out in the Bible. And then God at the same time says, but I don't want you to go there. He says, I don't want you to go there so much that He gave His own Son to pay the penalty for my sin, so I didn't have to go to hell. God is a God of righteousness, and He must punish sin. But He's a God of love. He's a God of grace, and He wants us to benefit from His grace and to not have to be punished for sin. That is the only reason that we haven't all died already, because God wants to give you another chance. And so if you're not saved tonight, the only reason you're still alive is because God loves you, and God wants you to appreciate His grace, and He wants you to receive salvation. He wants you to trust His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. In the situation that I was in with my license, there was a limit on how long this grace period lasted. In the case of my license, it was 30 days. We don't know how long God's period of grace is going to last. For you as a person, individually, as long as you are alive, you are in God's grace period. God will give you an opportunity to be saved as long as you're alive. And so you say, well, how long is that going to be? Well, I would like to ask you that question. How long do you think you have in this world? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not later. You see, that's what I did with that piece of paper on my desk. I said, well, not now. Not now. And every day I said, not now. And then suddenly I find myself in a position where the time has passed and it's too late if it wasn't for the grace period. And so God warns us in the Bible. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation that is so great, it can be neglected, put off one day at a time. Well, not today. We're busy with other things. And the next day, well, not today. And so you might find yourself in a position one day if you continue to do that, or it's too late. And with God's salvation, His grace period is now. It's not when you find yourself in hell and you go, wow, this is real. You know, they warned me about this, but it's real. Because if that happens to you, it's too late. You've missed God's grace period. You've missed God's grace. You've missed God's salvation. The first verse that we read, that the grace of God brings salvation. You know, I like the fact that it says that it brings salvation. It doesn't send salvation. You know, you can stay where you are and send something somewhere else. Even if it's a good thing, you can send it somewhere else. Sometimes we send parcels to our friends and our relatives in other cities. You know, when they get it, they're glad for it. But God brought salvation personally. You see, it was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, and He came to this earth not to live and to show us a good example, but He did that. He came to die on a cross and to suffer for your sin and for my sin. That's why He came. That's why the Bible says that He brought salvation. It's because He came right here, right where we were. He came right down into the mess of sin that this world is full of, into the mess that we have made of it, and then the evilness of our hearts, and he walked amongst men and women who were sinners, and He loved them, and they hated Him, and they put Him on a cross. And when they put Him on a cross because they hated Him, He let them put Him on that cross because He loved them. And He loved you, and He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the grace of God brings salvation. It says it hath appeared to all. You know, it's not restricted by race, by section of the world that you're from, by age, by intellectual ability, by any other divisions that the world has for grouping people. It simply says it has appeared to all. Everyone's included. And there's no one that needs to walk away, sadly, from God's grace saying, I guess it's not for me. Because it is for you. He has appeared, it has appeared to all. In the second verse we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we learn from that word that God's grace is something that is rich, has many riches, there's much of it. So why is it that I need God's grace? Well, from that second verse, we learn that I am a sinner, that I have sinned. I have sins. I have sins on my record. And there's nothing I can do about that now because it's done. It's in the past. Like people who have broken the laws of our country and they've paid the penalty for it and perhaps they've stayed out of trouble and now they're going on to be a responsible citizen and they want to go to the United States and they can't because they have a record. You know, and they can sit there and fuss and fume about it as much as they want. And they can say, you know, if only I hadn't done that. I was pretty stupid of me and all those kinds of things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything, does it? Because it's there. Their record is there. And that can't be changed. And that's the way it is with our sin. We have sinned. And the record of our sin is there. And what is it that can take our sin away? God's forgiveness. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in this verse. The forgiveness of sins. What if I don't get the forgiveness of sins through God's grace? What happens? Well, we've already mentioned it, haven't we? There's death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And after death, there's hell. There's judgment. It's not a very pleasant subject, but that is the reality of what the Bible tells us. God's grace is rich, as I mentioned. Why is it rich? Well, one reason is because of the cost, the death of his own son. The Lord Jesus Christ had to give his life. He had to become a man, first of all, and that was enough of a stoop in humbling himself to come from heaven as the God of creation, the God of the universe, and to come to this world and become a man. Restrict himself to what a man could do. After all, he is the creator. He is the one who has made everything. And then to give his life, to allow men and women to put him on a cross, to crucify him, so that he could save us. That's one of the reasons why God's grace is so rich, is because of the cost that was provided. What's another reason? Well, because of the benefit to us. You know, the riches of God's grace we find in Ephesians chapter 2 are going to go on forever and forever. God is going to display to us the riches of his grace throughout the unending ages of eternity. Now, if you try to imagine what eternity is or how long it is, you'll soon get lost in the wonder of it, in the amazement of it. You know, we talk about in terms of our city and our country, we talk about economic growth. You know, it's always good for the business to be growing. And what does that mean? Well, it means everything grows. So if your city is not growing in number of businesses and the amount of money that is able to be made and the number of people, then that's bad. That's what everybody, that's the common wisdom that's the case. So you have to keep growing. And so what happens is the city grows. Well, you have to add more houses. And so, well, you run out of room, so you just take on a little bit more land from the outside and so on. And we all have an idea what that means. Try imagining something like a city that grows forever. And you start to see that after a while, it must become unmanageable to grow forever, you know, to double in size and triple and quadruple. And what if a city expanded till it covered the whole world? You see, how could somebody ever look after that? It would be too big. And yet God's grace is going to go on growing. The things that we're going to know about Him will go on growing for all eternity and is never going to become unmanageable. God is going to have complete control over what He is doing, and it will never, ever end. See, that's one of the reasons why God's grace is rich. The benefit will go on growing. So coming from a God who has unending resources, He'll never run out. Sometimes children have the perspective that their parents have all the money that they need. Of course, one reason for that is that children have very, small children, anyways, change when they get older. They have very few expectations. And the things that they like to get don't cost very much. You can get them a little bubble gum for a quarter or 50 cents, whatever it costs these days. They can be happy for a while. And, every time they want some, you seem to be able to get it for them. And so they have this idea that, mom and dad have everything. And of course, they quickly find out that they don't, as their needs keep growing in size and in numbers. But God never runs out. He never runs out. There's never a need that we have that He says, sorry, I can't afford it. That's the answer we give as parents to our children from time to time. As they begin to learn as they grow older that we do have a limit, an end to what we have. And you say, no, there's only so much. And sometimes there's a little extra and you say, well, we could spend it on this or we could spend it on that, but not both. Why? Because we have a limit. We only have so much, and God has everything. Of course, He doesn't give us some things because He knows it would be bad for us. He wants us to grow, and He wants us to grow in His things. And so He doesn't necessarily give us all of the things that we think we might want. But He's able to give us everything. And in terms of spiritual blessings and God's grace, He has given us everything and will continue to give us everything for all eternity. That's one of the reasons why God's grace is rich. So, if you're not saved tonight, can I ask you, why aren't you saved? Is it that you have a problem with the statement that you've sinned and you need to be saved? I've already told you what the Bible says, that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we need to be saved. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I trust that you don't have a problem with understanding that you need to be saved. And so if you are not yet saved, then what is it that you're after in life? What are you putting ahead of your soul's salvation? What could possibly be more important than God's grace and God's salvation? Whatever it is that you're after, that you think, well, if I got saved, I would have to give up this. Okay, if that's what you're thinking, please give it some serious thought and ask yourself, this thing that you're concerned about, compare that to God's salvation, to God's grace. And which is better? Let me give you a verse to help you out. Whatever it is that you're after in life that's preventing you from being saved, whatever it is, this verse in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, what shall it profit a man or a woman or a boy or a girl if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I think that should take in anything that we could go after in this world. Anything. Because if you could gain the whole world, and there's been very few people, if any, that have ever been in that position to have gained the world. Perhaps there's been a few who achieve fame well beyond even most famous people. And in a sense, you could say they gained the world because everybody in the world wants them around or wants to see them. So maybe they, in a sense, have gained the world. What about military people who have been able to conquer all the world that they know about at the time. Perhaps in a sense you could say they had conquered the world, but there's very few of those. But even if you were able to achieve that kind of, well, the world calls it success, what shall it profit a man? What benefit is there, this verse is asking? What profit, what benefit, what advantage is it if you were to gain it all? Lose your own soul. The very easy test to compare, to help you compare whatever it is that's taking the place of God's salvation in your life, is ask yourself, in 100 years from now, long after I have died, which one is better? That might help to understand which one, what you should be pursuing, which one is better. Sometimes what the world offers looks good, looks interesting, looks challenging, and so there's a tendency to pursue it. But if we look to the end and say, what's the end result? And then we find that if we put God's salvation aside, it may come up to a point where it is too late. And like the letter I received in the mail, I was very glad when I phoned and I said, oh yes, there's a grace period. But if you miss God's salvation, this is the grace period you're in now. And if you miss it, it's too late. It will really be too late. Regarding my driver's license, I didn't meet the requirements. What if I missed the grace period as well? What happens to me? Well, I lose my Class 2 license. You know, that's a bit of a pain, and if I ever wanted it again, I'd have to go and write some tests and take a driver's test and that sort of thing. The cost isn't too great. But what if you miss God's grace period? The cost is your life and where you will be forever. That is the cost, a far greater thing. So I want you to consider God's grace period, if you don't mind the expression. God's day of grace, that we call it sometimes, for you individually, it'll end when you die. For the world, it'll end when God decides to send His Son back in judgment and change everything that's happening in this world. But for tonight, your concern is not what's going to happen to the world. Your concern is what's going to happen to you, because you're the only one who can make a difference in that. So I would urge you to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior.